What's going on, everybody? Welcome to Five Rounds. I am John Ramdean alongside Robin Black. We are talking about the landscape of mixed martial arts. The UFC will be in California this weekend to say goodbye to Uriah Faber, the legend of mixed martial arts. His influence really can be felt all over MMA. Gladiators Challenge, King of the Cage, that incredible World Extreme Cage Fighting organization, and then made his way to the big show. And I say the big show because I always felt the WEC was the big show. When you look
awesome.
At Donald Cerrone and Jose Aldo, Anthony Pettis,
Condit.
And Ben Henderson, and Carlos Condit, and Brian Stann, and you just named, just look at the list of fighters that have been a part of the WEC, and Dominic Cruz, Demetrius Johnson, you know what
yeah.
I mean? Some of the best fighters on the planet. So to say the big show, the only reason I'm saying that is because Uriah Faber, that's what he had to tell all of his family and friends. They would always ask him, when are you fighting for the UFC?
No, they'd say, what do you do? Well, I do mixed martial arts. I'm a champion. Oh, UFC champion?
Yeah. Yeah.
No, they don't have my weight division. Like, it gets all complicated.
Yeah, so it's – and what is unfortunate is that he never got a chance to win a UFC title. You know, I know he had his opportunities, and his legacy is more than championships. But it really would have been nice.
He was the world champion.
Yeah,
you know,
was.
He was the best 145 pounder in the world.
Yeah.
You know, and so whether or not the three letters are the three letters, put that thing up on your wall forever. And it must be tough for him. I mean, well, as tough as it can be when you're rich and handsome and successful and own a gym and other businesses and real estates. But this is the love. This is what he loves, and this is what has defined him and given him purpose when he wakes up in the morning and when he says no to cake and, you know, when he – everything.
Yeah.
And now it's all going to change. But he'll enjoy that night. That part, the fight is going to be amazing. It's the perfect partner, perfect opponent. But everything you're going to see from him, you're going to be able to feel. He's smart and aware enough to be really there, and you'll see it. In him.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that night.
Yeah, it's in Sacramento.
Yeah.
It's in his hometown. I really think he should be the main event, but whatever the powers that be decide that somebody that has 33 wins and 10 losses, that somebody that has eight fights or nine fights is more worthy of the main event slot. Paige VanZant taking on Michelle Waterson. And somebody's telling me that Mickey Gall and Sage Northcutt is the co-main event. That can't humanly be possible.
That's what they've been saying around the office. And what does that mean? It means that Fox, the broadcaster, is doing what is in their best interests, which is to get the highest ratings they can get. And they are confident their research, I would say, or, you know, the expertise around the office based on, you know, social media engagements and whatever metrics the experts measure. They're like, Paige VanZant is a far bigger draw on television than Uriah Faber. Now, I'm paraphrasing and I'm putting words into the mouth of the executives at TV, but I'm assuming that's why they've done this. And they know more about that than me, and that is their job. The fighter's job is to fight, and the UFC's job is to promote UFC, and our job is to talk about it, and the fans' job is to enjoy it. And that network's job is to get the largest amount of ratings that they can get to sell the most advertising to pay their salaries. That's how their business works.
Sure, but isn't that kind of short-sighted? Don't you want longevity?
And that guy's retiring.
Yeah, so I understand that. But at the same time, it just happens to be Uriah Faber. It could have been somebody else.
But the longevity, she's 21. She's famous.
You're trying to build a martial arts community.
Mm-hmm.
You want fans to appreciate the sport and the art of mixed martial arts. And you can't just, if you're looking for the future, you can't neglect all of those things.
So please understand that when I'm taking the other side here, I'm playing a role that
of course,
we have all known as devil's advocate.
Have to.
My actual opinion is exactly the same as yours.
Yes.
And I think not only is it the same as yours, but I think in the long run, going to skill and talent and the fights themselves is a better, harder, but better long-term growth. The easier, but probably less maximum and more short term is based on fame and that's the one they're choosing. But the devil's advocate role is for me to say, well, she's 21 years old and already world famous because she was on a show about dancing and she's beautiful and the audience seems to like her. If we put her here, we might get 15 years of big shows out of her or 10 years of big shows. And from our standpoint, if she becomes a celebrity, we can give her a talk show or we can give her any and I'm, again, this is a devil's advocate trying to think where I remove my own opinion from it. The job of the television network and the people that work there are doing what their job is, and their job is that. Our job is the fights, and Uriah.
But they're airing fights. Isn't their job to cultivate that audience of people that have been consuming fights? There's no dancing going on here. There's people that kick each other in the head, and it's like, okay, who can we bank on for the future? Well, this guy, clearly, if you're a fight fan, let's just poll everybody. Who should we be watching? Oh, we got to watch Uriah.
So a lot of people with no understanding, never worked in television or don't even know what how the structure of television work will have an opinion on that. Our opinion, I think, is a little more educated. We've worked in television 20 years. Yeah. We've seen the different levels of it. We see sort of how some of that works. We've kind of learned a little bit about it in there. And I do believe from after fighting, my subspecialty of interest is content and television and how mm-hmm, we share mm-hmm. ideas. And I believe that fighting has a bigger upside. To focus on the combat
Agreed.
And the martial arts has a bigger upside. And if we're, again, taking our own love of fighting out of it, the biggest things that are getting the highest ratings in all of television are live events. Live events revolve around the fight. Live events don't revolve around the outfit the walkout or whatever, although those are all parts of it. Football is the highest watched thing. It's a sport. It's a sport where we taught the audience how to cheer for their team and how to watch the sport. And I think fighting in the long run, that's the better approach. But I think in the short run, it's easier to market beautiful, young and beautiful. And I think people often, if you and I, again, work at the company whose job it is to get the highest ratings we can, and we're 46 years old, we might only work there 10 years. Plus, we're concerned TV's going to be gone anyways. We got to think about what's better, easier, short term, so that we're successful at our job, not long term. People who think long term have a permanent passion for something. People in television might be like, shit, I got to pay my mortgage, man.
Yeah,
and I got to get ratings right now. And so as you think around this, put yourself in their shoes. Our shoes are put Uriah Faber in the main event.
Yeah.
Their shoes are, how do I get the highest rating now? Damn the future. It's got to be now.
But there's also a certain reality. When Uriah Faber, one of the reasons why you put him in the main event is because he's proven in the sense that the guy delivers. He fought Mike Brown with two broken hands. If that is not a company man, it's like, okay, we're not sure what's going to happen. Well, Uriah Faber put this guy because of his experience, because of his championship material.
Nobody in the room knows that.
But
nobody in the room, nobody in that room
isn't
knows
their responsibility?
That. Now, talking about Fox is different because I have a knowledge of some of the people who do the production of the show. But I don't know how involved they are in deciding the main event. They're very smart people. The people I met there are brilliant people. But you know what? The guys in the room, whoever they are that are deciding on that, the higher ups, they show the thing. And that beautiful girl did that double kick and laid that girl out. That's the best thing I've ever seen. That's the craziest thing I've ever seen. You see that thing? That to them, again, short, recent, just 7 weeks ago, she flew through the air and knocked out that other beautiful girl with all those tattoos. That's a sure thing.
Mm-hmm.
Not what that guy did 8 years ago.
But it's not just 8 years ago. It's consistently
well, his last
for 8 years.
They're like, oh, I saw his last fight. It was against somebody nobody knew, and it was boring. And that one against Frankie. What's that guy? Steve Edgar. That one against Steve Edgar down in the Philippines. No, that was boring. So this guy, now we got this boring old guy.
Wow.
That's how they're thinking recent. Boring old guy. Which, if you're a guy in a suit who kind of is concerned with ratings more than fights, they see that. Or hot young girl that was on Dancing with the Stars who did that double kick and knocked out that hot girl with tattoos. Everybody in the room was going to go that way.
Literally, Sarge is listening to it. It's like, see, I tried to tell Rammer, and he just doesn't understand.
I know. The thing is, I wasn't even thinking of it. This conversation happened very naturally as I assumed the other role. Because I'm with you. I'm like, are you fucking fucking kidding me?
Yeah.
This is Uriah Faber, a pioneer in our sport, who was, you know.
Imagine the Fox feature, though.
Yeah,
you're laying
exactly.
that out.
Yeah.
MMA pioneer
mm-hmm.
in his backyard. Yeah. Show all the highlights. Him getting the yeah. shit kicked out of him
yeah,
by Aldo.
And, yeah,
still going
hands.
Forward, spinning yeah. techniques. Yeah. All of the yeah. go of Uriah yeah. Faber.
But that takes a whole lot of effort, and we don't know for sure. What if people don't see that one? What if there's a snowstorm that day and the power goes down and nobody saw it? Whereas they all saw that hot girl fly through the air and kick that girl in the head with that double thing. It's the most recent thing, and that's how most of that's the how they think now. So I think we've worked it out.
You yeah.
can now we put ourselves in their spot. You and me will be in a room with 12 other guys who are like, it's Uriah Faber, and the other 10 are like,
pretty
show
blonde
her dancing,
girl.
And then that kick too. The kick is undeniable. That I remember when we saw that. I just thought this thing now is a whole other thing because it used to be hot and famous. Now it's hot and famous and a winner and exciting.
And she can take a
yeah.
shit kicking.
Yeah.
I think the first
yeah.
time is when you and I were in Vegas
yeah.
when she fought Rose.
Yeah. Unreal.
And the beating that she took in that fight yeah. and her will to not give up until it was just too much.
And then the next fight to come back and have yeah. that highlight reel thing. So we just talked ourselves into it.
No. I understand the appeal. But the reality is you're also comparing skill. We're talking about
yeah.
sport here.
Yeah.
And if you go to Paige VanZant or you go to experts in the field, just yourself included,
yeah.
when you compare the skill, because if we're talking about the NFL,
yeah.
you reference the NFL. The NFL has the best players in the game in the NFL. If you play football and you play in the NFL, you're the best. Can you say that about Paige VanZant? I know it's different because it's fighting. And it's like, you know what? You don't have to be technically perfect to be willing to go out there and punch somebody in the face and get kicked in the head. You just go do your thing. Probably the fans are going to cheer,
yeah.
especially if
yeah.
there's some blood. But when you're comparing skill and
yeah.
skill and talent and experience, there's no comparison.
Well, the first time I met Dominic Cruz, he was talking in that thing at UFC 194 or 196.
Yeah, the Q&A.
And I went over to talk to him. And somebody was asking him about women fighters. And he was sitting there trying to find the words because he knows full well the level of where women's mixed martial arts has risen to compared to the men. And that is the same as the WNBA and
yep.
the NBA. And that is the same as just about any sort of their very physical thing where it's not only the bodies and the gender, because that in and of itself, you know, that's what you're trying to avoid the conversation. It is 20 years of tens of thousands of or hundreds of thousands or millions of hours of development customized towards these guys from Brazil and Japan and all over, and then what was at one time a few dozen women that weren't even included in the gyms because they were being judged
ostracized.
And mistreated
yeah.
and ostracized by the men. So the game has progressed way slower. So there's really no comparison. The best woman in the WNBA compared to, you know, middle-of-the-pack guy in the NBA, we know, right? That doesn't make you misogynistic or sexist because that is the truth. And that's the same here. And Dom was just, because he's a smart guy and he's a thinker, and he was like trying to find the way to be able to say just
without
that.
Without being judged.
Yeah, without being judged, because he shouldn't be judged. This is true. You should be able to say the
People
truth.
People don't like the truth often.
But you should be able to say the truth without somebody somehow saying that it makes you a judgmental or misogynistic or something, right? The truth is that Paige VanZant is nowhere near the skill of Uriah Faber. But never mind gender, never mind the women's division or the men's division. He's been doing it for 20-plus years.
Exactly.
She's been doing it for 4 years or 6 years. So it's not possible, right? Now, her study is newer. She is on there are people now, there are some, who with 6 years can learn all the things it took you 20. They're not quite as – their feel isn't going to be there. Their experience, their awareness, their sense, their comfort, that's all going to be there, but skills sometimes.
I would imagine because of that, because of mixed martial arts is how old as it is. I mean, it's not even 20 years old.
Yeah.
So there's during a period of growth, it's okay, this is what we're doing. This is what we've been working on for the last 2 years. The new coach comes in. It's like, you guys have been wasting your time 100%. Doing that. 100%. Guys, look at this, 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 and this. And everybody goes, oh, my God, we've just been wasting 2 years doing this. Now we're doing something else. 2 years later, it's like, guys, a new coach comes in. They show you something else. Like, all the work we've just spent for 5 years to get to this point has kind of been a waste because we are kind of half-assing things. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, or even just we did it this way and we had to do it this way to put those pieces in and discover that actually this way made sense. Oh, God, it took us 10 years to find the answer. Yeah. Then later the answer is the wrong answer again and again and again. It happens forever. At one time, remember, it's like, you know, the guy's going to take you down, so you got to sprawl. Oh, man, great sprawl.
Yeah.
The wrestling world just was like, are you guys serious? Sprawl is the somebody touches your hips in there, and then the whole game starts. And from there to somebody gets to this, a whole game starts. And wrestling is layered upon layered upon layered. As you sprawl, he gets this, and then you get that. It's like the single. We must get the whizzer and put the shin in here. And they're like, well, yeah, of course. We did that when we were 8. Which developed into the knee tap, which developed into the underhook, which developed into the back take, the fake back take, the sit out, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But, you know, it's 2001. You can't take me down because my sprawl is too good.
Yeah, I know.
You know what I mean?
But that was also the case. Yeah. It was kind of true at the time. Whereas because wrestlers, they had that figured out. It's like, oh, shit, though. We don't have any idea what's going on in the footwork of this stand-up shit.
No.
So in order for us to get there, we have to get through this.
Yeah.
Let's just hope we're tough enough. The wrestling taught us to be tough as shit and we can take a knee in the face as we're trying to get through there.
And then some guy came up with, man, you know what you do? You fire that overhand right, and then you take two steps in. And then that worked. As I fire the overhand right, his hands come up, and his hands come up. I drive in, and he's not used to this. That would probably work for a couple of years until they're like, wait a second, I can do this and sprawl. And then it's like, oh, well, I'll fake the overhand right, and I'll go to the double. And then they're worried about it. It's like, I'm going to go, and when they try to block my double, then I'll drill them with it. That took years to work out from the people combining wrestling and boxing. Paige Van Zandt learned that the week 3 of mixed martial arts training.
Where did she learn that? Who would have taught that to her? Oh, right. Uriah Faber.
Well, yeah. Well, she did train before that.
Sure.
I don't know if you ever saw this drama, but she was a young girl, and whatever coach she trained with coming up, you know, she was going to be a star and going to be successful and had, as you mentioned from the Rose fight, had some of the things that, you know, winners have to have, and we rarely have them. Most of us could never handle that, the physical and mental torture of that. And you know, those people have to start somewhere. Every great Olympic swimmer had a swim coach when they were 8 years old. And that coach doesn't freak out. You know, they should have stayed with me. but her coach freaked out. It's like, look, if you really are that good and if it's really you, the coach, then you should have 20 of these. You should have 5 of these. You should have the next fairly talented athlete. You should be able to make them into that.
But isn't it also a you need the perfect relationship sometimes. Sometimes, you know, a coach and a student, they need to work together in order for both of them to achieve success. Matt Hume and Demetrius Johnson. Yeah. Do you feel, even though Demetrius Johnson is what he is, if he never met Matt Hughes and decided to get into mixed martial arts on his own, that he went down to American Top Team, that he would be the pound-for-pound best fighter in the world, right?
No, I don't think there's any chance of that. And I don't think he'd tell you there was any chance of that. What you'd have is this. It would be hard for him to figure out who he would have been, but you have to go all the way back and then go back to the very first 5 important principles that he learned, which spread out into these, and then a way of thinking, and then a way of viewing the world. And Matt would have influenced him in ways of who he is as a person wouldn't have been as good, you know. But Matt Hume is one of, you know, a handful. If you take full martial arts of any kind in the world, there might be, and I'm not just talking about MMA where there's a handful, there could be 100 martial artists in the world on planet Earth like Matt Hume. 4 or 5 of them are in MMA, a couple of them are in something else, where they've studied, and, you know, Matt Hume comes directly down from Bruce Lee through Matt Hume's father and others to Matt. So his understanding of the martial arts and his understanding of the study of the martial arts and the study of self and the study of evolving yourself and all of that is on such a high level. If Demetrius Johnson would have never wandered through there, he would never be the world champion. And I don't think I'm the biggest Demetrius Johnson fan in the world. I think he would say this. Mm-hmm. I don't think we're saying something out of line. I think that's true. But just because for two to me, now in this case, Matt was already an established martial arts mind that had been met 30 years into his martial arts journey, met Demetrius, and it was perfect. There are people who are very young and very new and only 5 or 10 years into it, but with the right fighter, can become a great coach, you know, and that is real. I think Kavanaugh. John Kavanaugh will be somebody who would say that meeting, there's no doubt he's the real thing. There's no doubt. But had he and Conor never met, neither one would be there. And I think Conor would say that too. And I think that I feel that my observation makes, I see that as being true.
You don't feel that Conor would try, he seems like a guy that this was his path and that he would have tried to figure out what that path was and how to make the most. And maybe I don't think he would be the guy that he is today. And again, I have such limited knowledge of the relationship, but it just feels like of the times that I've talked to Kavanaugh, he's like we've been planning this. This has been something that we've been planning for so long. So when people are, you know, they talk about the money and stuff, but that this is Conor. When I talked to Kavanaugh, he really led me to believe that it's not. Like, all of this stuff is just something separate to the fact that we are just martial artists who are ready to live martial arts life, and all this stuff is for the outside world.
For sure. And I know this, you have to, you know, as I will say this, you have to backtrack 20 steps. So whatever you are has been influenced by everything you've come across. And if you go back far enough, some of those things were enormous. Like, you know, when you're a kid, if you never took karate, you would not be sitting here.
That's 100% correct.
And if the day you went to karate, you had a cold and you didn't like it, or one asshole who wasn't in the gym that day was in the gym, or the coach wasn't there. So, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
These forks in the road of who you are in your life, some of them are little things you could never even imagine. And you remove John Kavanaugh down there early, and instead you put in some guys like, that's right, Connor, you're the best, man. You're the best. Nobody's better than you. At early on, everything changes. The mindset and the way that he thinks is, they say this about our lives. At every step that you make influences who you are. But the three or four closest people to you, you are a combination of all of those people. A lot of the way you think are a combination of all those people. So your mate, your best friend, your partner. We are affected. Our thinking is affected by those closest to us, and we affect the thinking of them. And you take the Kavanaugh out, and you have an entirely different human being. Every day, thinking different.
Different philosophies.
Different philosophies, different priorities. You know, if somebody's like, you don't have to train wrestling, Conor. Like, we're going to knock out everybody. Conor McGregor's done. Mm-hmm. He's not this. Or somebody else says, you know, we think instead you should play only to this strength. Or somebody comes in and goes, why don't you fight right-handed? I mean, every single choice all leads to it when you're at this level. So he's not him without Kavanaugh. There's no chance he's him without Kavanaugh. Could he still be an elite winner and super a different version? Yeah, he could. But he wouldn't be this. He wouldn't be this. And he wouldn't be this without the girl that he dated. You can have an athlete coming along that's going to be the greatest and meet one girl who just
derails everything
physically.
Or guy, depending on.
Guy, for sure. I don't know how to phrase this.
They're poisons.
Yeah. Well, no, I was thinking a different way. Like, there are blowjobs in the world that change your life. Do you know what I mean?
There are.
And there are mental relationships that change your life. And at that moment, you're like, I'll just do whatever she says from this day forward. She's like, don't go to the gym tonight. And you're like, oh, my. Change your life.
Sure.
And good ways and bad ways. There are people who could also meet a person, and through meeting them and chatting with them, you would realize, and maybe rightly so, and your life becomes amazing because of this. Fighting's barbaric, and I shouldn't do it. The right woman or man, you know, husband or wife can have enough influence that you look at and go, I don't want to hurt any, like anything.
Yeah, of
people
course.
Influence each other. So when you take back a relationship to that nugget there, when they first meet each other, and you remove that key relationship.
Do I say the poison?
Yeah, it can be.
It is.
For sure.
That's okay. What I look at it.
But it can also be an antidote.
Sure, sure. But if the goal is, this is what I need to do to achieve the things that are going to make me happy, but this thing takes away from that, and which in turn can get me hurt inside of that thing, that's why I mean it's a poison. And I'm not saying the individual is a poison. I'm just saying that area where you can easily be led over to a certain area where you don't, you're not spending the time that you need to be spending making sure that your head's protected at the end of the day.
Well, how many, and I mean, so there's not necessarily good and bad in this, in the fork of any road, even if I would have been a great fighter. How many of those guys, you know, documentaries of athletes or even musicians, I was a bass player in this band and then I quit and now I own this enormous business and I met this beautiful woman and I have this incredible family.
Yeah.
These forks, suddenly you have a different life. At each one of these forks, I mean, they all matter, right? They all shape who you are. And, you know, not being a top 10 UFC fighter and making, you know, $200,000 a year and damaging your brain and instead, you know, creating an app that makes people's better at gardening and have a great family, this might have poisoned becoming a UFC fighter, but look at the way he went. Every fork in the road is part of your life, right?
Yeah, I guess that's what it comes down to. And Paige Van Zandt has another opportunity to make things right, I guess, in her world. Coming off of that win, as you pointed, over Beck Rollins, taking on Michelle Waterson, the main event of UFC on Fox 22. Waterson's been around a while, but we haven't really seen her. We saw the fight with Angela Magana, but, you know, we'll just like how we were talking about the skill level between Uriah Faber and Paige Van Zandt is different. Angela Magana and the skill of the rest of the division, not the same as well.
True. Good, but Waterson, you know, is she ready for a main event on Fox?
Yeah.
Paige Van Zandt is.
Yeah.
You know, and there are other aspects to, oh, you did a reality show, that's great. Or, wow, you were on Dancing with the Stars. That all of the cameras everywhere. Okay, and 3, 2, 1, go. All of those things do prepare you for pressure in different ways. I know you're not getting kicked in the head, but when you have to go out there and there's a, you know, 20 million people watching you dance, something that you only had 3 hours to rehearse, and there's 12 cameras on you and your heart is beating, that's not the same as fighting, but it is performing. It's dealing with performance. And so when she's a headliner at UFC on Fox Page, she's had extra things outside of fighting that have helped prepare you for that. And it's real. You know, it's that performance and the ability to do what you need to do in the moment under pressure, whether it's getting kicked in the head or not, it's a valuable experience. And Waterson's never had it. Waterson's been a small star in the niche of mixed martial arts. I like her style. And she's done the odd thing. She did like American Ninja Warrior, although she didn't perform well in that. I don't know why I saw that. Actually, it's kind of a fun show. Now that I think we should commentate
we should.
That. Wouldn't that be fun?
100%. What I do like about Michelle Waterson, she's already lost a bunch of times in her MMA career. A pupil of Greg Jackson and Mike Winklejohn, so they'll have a great strategy for her. What are you expecting? Is it based on what we've seen of Paige, you believe that there's a lot of upside? Michelle Waterson, 30 years of age, where Paige feels fresh and she feels like her star is not even close to rising.
Yeah, you still have to go out and you have to win a fight. And it's I assume it's 25 minutes. It is the main event on a Fox show. Neither of them are likely to get tired, but you got to go out and do it. I'll tell you, it was really cool talking to Greg Jackson. I spoke to him off camera a bit, and then we did something on camera. And you see right away, you know right away. I mean, we know he's a great coach, but suddenly you're seeing that he's studying Gestalt philosophy, you're seeing that he's studying game theory, you're seeing that he's studying, you know, theories and structures and types of military engagement
stuff. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it doesn't take too long in a conversation to go, oh,
that's where you're coming
from.
Oh,
that's because we were talking about sort of, you know, how to get How Do Ho Choi, they were keeping him in sort of analyzing mode instead of in action mode. And they did. You know, they never let him settle into it. And that was by design. That was intentional. That was strategized. That was understood. And that was an environment that they created by plan. So that's pretty cool. And you're like a couple conversations, very excitable. He loves what he's doing. It's a game to him in a lot of ways, but he cares about these guys. I read a lot of who the guy was by kind of feeling his vibe and seeing it. And he's on a level, man. This is the game is changing quickly, and he's known that for a long time, and he's trying to be out front of it. And he is out front of it. So they're not going in there thinking, oh, this young blonde is on the rise or whatever. Yeah. They're going in there going,
we can beat her.
Yeah. You know, she'll get to your back and she'll be tenacious and we'll weather that and we'll hurt her for coming in and we'll find angles that she's less familiar with coming out of Alpha Male and we'll try to bust her up.
Well, I don't know if you heard, did you watch the video of the Do Ho Choi, Cub Swanson, Greg Jackson cornering?
Yeah, freaking out, being emotional. He talked to me about that.
About the fact that the one cornerman is saying that Do Ho Choi is hurt.
Yes.
And Greg keeps saying, stay disciplined.
Discipline.
And Buddy keeps and then Greg freaks out on him saying, stop saying that. Yeah. Cub can still get knocked out instead of going after
this. He was right. We were saying that 100%.
Yeah.
I was standing there with Kelvin Gastelum, and he's going, oh, and I'm like, in that last minute and a half, I said, we've commentated a fight of Do Ho Choi's in Japan that was just like this, and he got the knockout in the third round. He's not only could he maybe do it, he's done it before, and you could feel it. But Cub was aware of it, and Greg's right. Greg was 100% tuned in that on every level. Man. And then in those last seconds, he let himself, you hear, it's like,
stop saying that!
No, but after that, later, that's our fight, motherfucker!
Yeah, freaking out.
He talked to me about that a little bit. That was a really crazy, amazing fight. And to get insight, and Joel Diaz,
relaxed.
I don't know if it was maybe Joel. I don't think it was Joel yelling, get him, he's hurt. But you never know. I don't know. Emotion, man. A fight like that, even the most experienced guys were drawn into it because there was something very, very unique and special. It is just a real, you know, like heavily extrapolated exaggeration of why we like fighting. Because people, you know, the CFO here who doesn't really watch fighting and finds it a little bit, you know, a little bit unnerving in some ways. His job is specializing in dollar signs and decimal points. But he was like, oh, that was pretty
special.
There was a guy at Bang Fitness this morning when I was there who was like, that one fight. Like, everybody can feel that. That is an exaggerated version of why many of the different reasons we love fighting. Greg got drawn into it, too.
100% true. All the action going down in Sacramento this weekend. UFC on Fox 22. Paige VanZant, Michelle Waterson, Uriah Faber in his last fight against Brad Pickett, Sage Northcutt, Mickey Gall, Mike Platinum Perry, who I think will probably be a huge star for the organization.
This is the toughest fight he's ever had by far.
Alan Jombin is a legit guy. Cole Miller, Mizuto Hirota, Brian Barberena, the guy that beat Sage Northcutt, taking on Colby Covington, who we saw in Ottawa take out our guy Joe Mounier.
Yeah, Barberena's like, why am I so low on the card? I beat that guy.
I beat that dude. James Muntasri on the card, and way, way down there, third fight of the night, Eddie Wineland taking on Takeo Mizugaki.
Awesome. I assume that's the Fight Pass main event. Fight Pass has been lobbying hard to get just this kind of fight in their main event.
Where
people who are like, they're like, listen, if you are the type of fan who watches this kind of fight, you're the type of fan who should be subscribed to this. That's their thinking. It's a simple, logical strategy. If you like this kind of fight, why aren't you giving us $9 a month to watch it? You know?
It is going to be a great night of mixed martial arts in Sacramento, California. Yes, everybody's looking at that main event, but when Uriah Faber comes out, the place is going to erupt. Thank you, Uriah Faber, for everything you've done inside of the cage. That is it for us. On behalf of Robin Black, Chase Kaiser, I'm John Ramdeen. We'll see you guys next time on Five Rounds. Later on this week, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, right. No, next week.
Next week. Two of them next week.